Sergei Eisenstein is considered to be one of the greatest Soviet film directors. In 1925, he made Battleship Potemkin, a cinematic masterpiece that's still being dissected and taught in film schools today. But there's also a little-known yet important episode in Eisenstein's career, his failed attempt in the 1930s to make a film about Mexico. With more, here's film writer Chris DeShiel.
Russian director Sergei Eisenstein was interested in Mexico since his youth, and this was later fueled by his friendship with the great Mexican painter Diego Rivera, who often visited Russia in the 1920s. After the worldwide success of Potemkin in 1925, Stalin granted permission for Eisenstein to visit the West to make a movie and bring some of the advanced skills developed there back to the Soviet film industry. In 1930, Eisenstein made a deal with Paramount and went to Hollywood, hobnobbing with Charlie Chaplin and others. He was a most self-assured and assertive young man. With his wide grin, high forehead, and curly hair, he looked like an impish, overgrown child. He was a committed communist, but his ideas about art were audacious and unconventional, to say the least. All his story proposals were rejected by the studios. He then had the idea of a movie about Mexico. After all, it was only just across the border. And Chaplin suggested that he approach the famous writer Upton Sinclair for help. Sinclair seemed the perfect choice. The foremost socialist in the United States, his best-selling books were very popular in Russia. Sinclair agreed to meet with Eisenstein and was enthusiastic. Then when Eisenstein was asked to estimate the cost, he went to a bookseller that he knew, a man who had fought alongside Pancho Villa, and asked him how much money it might take to make an average-length documentary about Mexico. That's how the ridiculously low figure of $25,000 was arrived at. Eisenstein never had to think about money in the Soviet Union. Everything was financed by the state, and Sinclair was an amateur. The director and his team crossed the border in December of 1930. All footage would be shipped to Sinclair in Los Angeles and developed there. After 2 months in Oaxaca, Mexico City, and elsewhere, Eisenstein was just getting accustomed enough to his new surroundings to develop an outline. The budget was then doubled to $50,000, and much of Sinclair's time would be taken up with raising funds from friends, a task which turned out to be difficult because of the Depression. The film would be in 5 episodes, each illustrating a different aspect of Mexican culture and history. Filming kept getting delayed by rain, cloudy days, and sickness. In May and June of 1931, the third and most successful sequence, entitled Maguey, depicting the rebellion of 3 peasants against a brutal landowner, followed by their execution, buried up to their necks and trampled by horses, was filmed. Eisenstein wired Sinclair to say he would need another $15,000. Sinclair wanted to just show Maguey separately as a single film, and this outraged the Russian. The truth is that the atmosphere of freedom in Mexico, such a contrast to life in Soviet Russia, was inspiring Eisenstein to greater heights of creativity. His plans for the film became more grandiose, even as Sinclair, who was ill along with his wife and bleeding financially as well, was demanding he finish it. In October, Eisenstein asked for an additional $20,000 to $25,000. Then came the thunderbolt, a telegram from Stalin himself, announced that Eisenstein had lost the trust of his Soviet comrades and must return home. Eisenstein desperately tried to finish the film. The final section was to depict an episode in the campaigns of Zapata's army during the revolution. But the money had run out. Before leaving for Russia, Eisenstein's despair and fury compelled him to an action which turned out to be one of his worst mistakes. He packed a trunk of unwanted things and sent it to Sinclair, who had to claim it at the customs office. When the trunk was opened in Sinclair's presence, scattered on top of the belongings was a series of homoerotic sketches. Sinclair may have been a socialist, but he was also a prude, and this was the last straw for him. He refused to let Eisenstein have the film. He then edited the Maguey section and released it alone as a short film. Other bits of footage showed up in other films over the years. Sinclair was vilified by the left for this episode, and he moved more to the center, eventually running for governor of California as a Democrat in 1934, and almost winning. He continued to write successful books, winning the Pulitzer Prize in 1942. Shortly before his death in 1970 at the age of 90, he agreed to let Eisenstein's assistant Grigory Alexandrov reconstruct the film. The name of this unfinished film, this ruin, is Que Viva Mexico, Long Live Mexico. It's available on DVD in the version put together by Alexandrov in 1979. Since the plan to make a synchronized soundtrack never happened, all we have is some music and a narration by Alexandrov to what is essentially a silent film.
Время в прологе. вечность. Может быть, это сегодняшний день.
There are moments of great power and beauty, notably the McGay episode, and a brilliant sequence showcasing Day of the Dead celebrations with all their skull masks and pageantry, and in which Eisenstein intended to symbolize that the spirit of the Mexican people could never die. Yet, the movie is still a series of fragments. We will never know what it would have looked like if the director could have finished it. Eisenstein was always bitter about his Mexican film. He made four more pictures in his life, all of them censored and some even condemned. He died in 1948 at the age of 50. It's a remarkable story. The brilliant director, who achieved fame in infusing propaganda with the fire of art, came to a land he had dreamed of since youth and found there a new dimension in himself. Warmth, humor, sensuality, and a kind of spirituality as well. The little Mexican movie grew into his most ambitious and imaginative effort. But there were other forces at work. Money, politics, and power struggles. The very necessity to compromise with others in order to achieve one's vision. Eisenstein was inexperienced in all these areas, and it cost him dearly. It's the old story of the genius who founders on the demands of the day-to-day. The Mexican Dream was a beautiful romance. It was also a tragedy.
Chi ci sarà dietro questa maschera? Forse il figlio della soldadera, destinato a vedere il Messico finalmente libero.
For Arizona Spotlight, this is Chris DeShiel.